With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Final hour. Fist pump time on the Dallas Fan Cam as RJ Choppy gives you the Friday fist pump right here on your Turn It On, Leave It On station. Home of the Cowboys at Texas Rangers 105 through the fan. It is Sean and RJ, Kevin Gray, RJ Choppy, Peyton Russell holding it down for you, getting to your weekend as quickly as possible on this beautiful Friday morning. A Mavericks victorious Friday. Rangers get a win last night, hoping the Stars back that up as well as they try to avoid and stave off elimination tonight against the Calgary Flames. We appreciate you joining us on Odyssey and the Odyssey at thetruckwreck.com. Text line 877-881-1053. Appreciate Marty Turco joining us last segment via the Diamond Factory Hotline. Before we get back into the Mavs conversation and how you're feeling going into Game 7 on Sunday, got some breaking news when it comes to the high school, the Texas high school football scene. Breaking news on 105 through the fan is presented by Beat the Streak for tips to win a $5.6 million prize.
$1 million.
Listen, wherever you get your podcast. This comes from Matt Stepp, who covers the Texas high school football scene extremely well, and Texas High School Football Insider.
Is his brother named Dub?
I don't think so. Allen head coach Chad Morris has resigned his post as the head coach for the for Allen High School. So Allen is now looking for a new head coach. So big deal in the world of Texas high school state football. Allen is now looking for a new head coach as Chad Morris has resigned as head coach of the Allen Eagles.
Where is he going to go? Because it ain't high school. He's going back to college somewhere. But where? That's the question.
I think he could have his pick at anywhere he wants to go, I would think, right? For the most part? Maybe?
No, I would think not.
Maybe he could kind of maybe pick and choose where he wants. Because I feel like you don't resign a job like this. You know,
no, you resign this job for any college job.
Yes, I'm saying, like,
yeah, even an offensive. He'll be a head coach.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you.
Yeah, he'll be a coordinator somewhere. I wonder where he's going to go, though. Because I mean, you know, he didn't have a very good run at Arkansas by any stretch.
No, not at all.
And then, you know, they went to Clemson. He was at Clemson. He did well there. But I can't imagine. Where does he go? That's a good question. I do wonder. I mean, like, there's got to be. I would be very surprised if it's for a head coaching job, but, you know, what is he going to make as an offensive coordinator? He'll probably make pretty good money as an offensive coordinator in college football.
Sure.
You know, you can make up. There's offensive coordinators in college football making $1 million a year.
So
shoot. Didn't the Texas special teams coach make $1 million a year?
Oh, they handed out $1 million contracts for special team coaches at Texas?
I mean, they're handing out $1 million contracts for long snappers now, so why not?
Allen is looking for a new head coach. Chad Morris has resigned as the head coach at Allen High School. So interested to see who steps in to take that job for one of the most powerful programs in all of high school football across the country.
So Matt Stepp put this on Twitter. I don't think anyone thought Chad Morris and Allen was a long-term solution, but man, only being there a year, just wow. There's an Arkansas fan who clearly is still not happy with Chad Morris.
Oh.
Posts this on Twitter. He disgusts me. I can't stand fake people, and Chad Morris is as fake as it gets. Hate is a strong word.
Damn.
And there's only a few people I truly hate, but Chad Morris is dancing with it. Zero respect for him.
Woo! Wow.
Dang, man.
Well, I retweeted that at Kevin Gray Sports if you want to see that. The breaking news for Allen High School. Chad Morris has stepped down as head coach there. Allen has a new opening for his next head coach. Hopefully we...
I mean, that was 24 hours after their spring game.
Wow. So...
he had the spring game yesterday.
I didn't even realize the spring game for them. Was,
dang, man.
Wow. So there you go. We'll see what happens in Allen as they look for a new head coach. Hopefully the Mavericks are going to be looking forward to their next series because really 2-1-4. I'm sorry, that threw me off. Really? From the 2-1-4. Art Briles to Allen. Come on now. No.
No?
I wouldn't think so.
He's already done high school here.
No, I know. I'm saying, but after all that fiasco that happened with, you know, with Grambling and all of that, I don't know if that's the name that you want to touch when it comes to.
Someone's going to hire him somewhere. Some college is going to hire him.
We'll see.
Again.
And they'll face the same kind of backlash that even Grambling got when Hugh Jackson decided to hire Art Briles. They were like, wait, what's going on here? So that remains to be seen. But the Mavericks, Game 7, Sunday, possibly afternoon or evening, depending on what happens between the Bucks and the Celtics. Just to reset for you, if the Bucks and the Celtics end in six, if the Bucks get it done and end their series against the Boston Celtics in six games, that game between the Mavericks and the Suns will be at 2:30 p.m. on Sunday afternoon on ABC. If the Bucks and the Celtics go the full seven games, that game between the Mavericks and the Suns will be at 7 o'clock on TNT on Sunday afternoon. That is just giving you a little bit of the schedule there when it comes to this team. But the question I want to pose to you here, and I think it's a good one based on how this series has played out and what we've seen from this team throughout the course of not just this postseason, but winning 52 games in the regular season, Jason Kidd taking over from Rick Carlisle after he spent, you know, 13 years here. Regardless of what happens on Sunday, Chop, how has this Mavericks season changed your outlook for their future based on what has happened in this postseason for them?
Well, that's a good question. You know, we did the, is it a successful season? And it absolutely has been. Mm-hmm. And there's no way of saying it hasn't been. And I don't think you can, you know, put this season in the failure category at all. Even if they don't win the, on Sunday night, it was still a success. So, you know, how's it changed my outlook? It hasn't. It has.
Really?
Well, I mean, like, this is the next progression.
Okay.
I expected them to progress to this level this year. So my outlook is about the same. They need to get another great player to pair with Luka. We all know that, right? This is not the end product. This whole we love our boys in blue crap's got to end. You know, yeah, we like Jalen Brunson. Yeah, we like, you know, Dorian and Reggie. And we like all those. You have to move on from some of these guys. You have to get better ones, better versions of them. You have seen the evolution of this team is quite simple. Luka is amazing. Pair him with somebody who is also amazing. And they need to do that. So has it changed my outlook? No. Like, this is exactly where I expected them to be. Win a first-round playoff series and lose in the second round. Right now, they're going to be an underdog on the road in a place they haven't really looked good in the previous three games. So this is exactly where I expected them to be this season. Has it changed your outlook a lot?
I think it has changed my outlook on this team, and I'll tell you why. Coming into this postseason, I thought, look, if the Mavericks can win a playoff series, I think this will change the perception on how teams and, more importantly, players will view Luka Doncic and this organization moving forward as a real possible championship contender within the next 2 years. And now, if you find a way to upset Phoenix on the road against the best team in the league that was 8 games clear of the next best team in this league, and you move on to the Western Conference Finals with this 23-year-old superstar and this cast, that to me signals to around the league for players that they may feel like they're the one guy or two that can help put the Mavericks over the top. And more importantly, Luka Doncic has now proven that he can win and win deep into the playoffs, which I think is huge for any budding superstar with the talent and what we think he's going to be for the remainder of his career, that that could be a position for him to attract other guys around the league. I was talking to Richard Jefferson a couple of days ago.
Whoa, look at this. Say, another guy doesn't text me back. Did you ask about that?
I didn't know that you and RJ had a thing in that way.
Us RJ stick together.
Oh, well, clearly not, because, okay. You know.
Yeah, so that's the two in a row. Two times in a row, I had texted him. No response.
Oh, well, you know, maybe you need to come see me, Chop, and I maybe hook you up. Maybe I need to hook you up. But he was telling me the other day, he said, look, you know, it isn't that players don't love the city of Dallas. They love the city of Dallas. They love everything that Dallas, you know, presents. No state income tax, you know, all the things, the night, like all the things that Dallas presents to the city, players love. What they haven't seen is evidence that this team can win and win deep into the playoffs. And obviously they haven't done it in 11 years. Like, players want to come here, but there hasn't been the kind of evidence to suggest that the Mavericks can be a destination where they can do the kind of winning that paired and coupled with the everything that comes with Dallas that they would want to be able to enjoy here. So to me, that's huge when a former NBA player, former Dallas Maverick himself, former NBA champion Richard Jefferson is like, hey, it's not about the city. It's not about the organization itself. Like, players want to play for a guy like Mark Cuban. It's about this team actually doing the kind of winning that they haven't done in 11 years. And if that changes based on what has happened this postseason, I think you could see how this team becomes a real spot for guys to come play.
I didn't think of that. It's interesting about how this would change, if it does change, how they want to come here, or if they want to come here. It's always the thing I've never understood. And you know, but that's the other, you know, don't give me this thought, Richard, that like we haven't seen and shown that you can win here. I mean, what they do during Dirk's tenure?
Well,
they were winning 50 games a year for a decade and a half, and it never mattered. They never got free agents. Mm-hmm. Who'd they get? They overpaid for Rafe LaFrance. Whoa. You know, they got Eric Dampier. Oh, championship. You know, like they had to overpay for guys that didn't deserve the money. Like, that was it. Like, you know what the Mavs were doing? They were doing the Mike Conley thing. When Mike Conley was never a $40 million a year guy, right? He got that bag.
Yeah.
But that's what they had to do. I wonder if it changes now.
I will say, I think that type of player during Dirk's time, when he was winning 50 games a year, competing against the San Antonios, the Lakers, those kinds of teams, a lot of those guys had that old school mentality, like, we're not teaming up here. Kobe wasn't trying to team up, you know, with Dirk. Other guys weren't trying to team up with each other. I think the landscape of the NBA has changed to the point where guys are willing to do what they have to do to go play with guys they want to play with. And if Luka can continue to prove to the rest of the league that not only can I win with guys, you know, like Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr., Dwight Powell, you know, all due respect to those guys, I can be a guy that now comes to this city and play with this superstar and win going forward. Because here's one thing about Luka and how players view him around the league, and now that other guys like Spencer Dinwiddie are here, they're going to talk glowingly about not just the organization, but what Luka is as a player and what that means for the development and the growth of other guys' games when they come play with him. That's huge around the league for guys to be able to feel that way with other players who have been in different situations, like Spencer Dinwiddie, for example, in Washington. Terrible situation there. He has loved every minute of playing with this organization, specifically because he knows he's playing with a guy like Luka, and now he can tell other guys around the league, hey, man, this thing in Dallas, it's legit. Reggie Bullock, he talked about the difficult situation they had in New York. It's night and day here with the Mavericks. Another guy that could go around like, hey, man, mm-hmm. He's got a lot of respect around the league. Hey, man, this Dallas thing is real down here. Like, that matters. And regardless of what happens on Sunday, I think the perception of that has changed when it comes to that.
Maybe it has. And if it has, then the Mavs will get somebody. But they need that too. They need that true too. And I don't mean KP kind of too, or Dinwiddie or Brunson kind of too. I mean like that Anthony Davis kind of too. You know, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving kind of too.
Yeah.
I'm not saying go get Kyrie Irving, okay? I'm not saying go get – although, if you had Kyrie this year, he'd have played, you know, 70 games.
Yeah.
He'd have been able to, at least. That'd have been good. But they need to get that other – the problem they're going to run into is that Luka is a ball-dominant player. You can't get somebody who also needs to be a ball-dominant player. That's why Kemba Walker was never going to be a fit here with Luka. I would love to get Dame, but is Dame going to be the right kind of fit here with Luka? Right? Would he? you need somebody like a Joker or an Embiid or an Anthony Davis or somebody that could play off the ball.
Yeah. And I know with the record of when it comes to, you know, Dirk saying that, you know, Kobe tried to recruit him to come to L.A. Yeah. As Kobe was getting later into his career, obviously, with what was going on and those kinds of things in L.A. But I'm saying that was very rare. It's not like these guys a lot were clamoring to play with each other. You had rare instances where guys looked at each other around the league and said, hey, I might want to play with him. But guys weren't actively the way that they do are. Like, it's a different day in the NBA versus how guys want to play with each other versus how they did, you know, 10, 12 years ago. You'll have the occasional, yeah, Kobe, yeah, why not try to recruit Dirk to come?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, to L.A. But that
Dirk wasn't going to affect how Kobe played his game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because Dirk wasn't going to have the ball to be effective. You could get Dirk the ball and he would be effective, but Kobe would still be the primary. The offense still run through him, primary ball, just like Luka. Even though Luka's and Kobe's game is a little bit different, but still, the point is that, you know, you would need another player that can be an off the ball kind of guy that could still be effective and still be a star.
Mavericks Suns game 7 on Sunday. Can the Mavericks find a way to pull the upset against the Phoenix Suns and move on to the Western Conference Finals? Coming up next, we go around the National Football League right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
About to go around the National Football League right here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Don't forget, tomorrow, 1 to 5:30, Chris Arnold and I will be doing a live broadcast at Twin Peaks out in Irving. And it's for our fan hang. Another fan hang at Twin Peaks in Irving. Looking forward to that. Your favorite fan hosts and personalities will be out there starting at 3 o'clock. We'll have our round tables, food, drinks, fellowship. Looking forward to having yet another opportunity to hang out with you, the Tolo. Really appreciate all the support that you give for this station. It means a ton to us, and we want to show our love and appreciation by hanging out with you this weekend. You can celebrate the new addition. The nosebleed seats to the G-Bag Nation. Eric Chiafalo, Zach Welchup making their debut today at 2 o'clock right here on 105.3 The Fan as part of the G-Bag Nation with Gavin Dawson, Brian Broaddus, and, of course, Lucius Alexander. So congratulations to Zach Welchup, Eric Chiafalo. Flood their Twitter mentions and their follows. Give them a bunch of follows on Twitter and show them love as they join the G-Bag Nation. Reginald Atatula and myself. We'll actually be taking over from 7 to 11 p.m. right here on Monday through Friday on 105.3 The Fan when the opportunities come to do so. Our first show will be May the 23rd for Reggie and myself, so we're looking forward to that. So really appreciate all the support for our station and looking forward to hanging out with you guys tomorrow. Again, 1 to 5:30, live broadcast, Twin Peaks out in Irving. Fan roundtables begin at 3 o'clock. Come hang out with us and have a good time. Sean and RJ.
It's like 29 degree beer or something like that.
Yeah,
super,
yeah.
Super cold, man.
It's going to be, look, man, it's going to be hot this weekend. Come enjoy some air conditioning, some good food, and listen to your favorite sports station right here on 105 Through the Fan. And looking forward to doing that this weekend, big weekend, as we cheer on your Dallas Mavericks game 7 on Sunday. Hopefully the Stars handle their business tonight to stave off elimination as they take on the Calgary Flames. Puck drops at 8:30 tonight at the American Airlines Center as they look to stave off losing in the first round to the Calgary Flames. Appreciate Marty Turco.
Calgary, as they say in Canada.
Yeah, Calgary, right, exactly. What do they call that arena out there, by the way?
Isn't the Saddle Dome?
Something Dome, yeah.
Saddle Dome,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so hopefully the Stars will find their way back there and winning a possible Game 7.
I didn't realize until I went to Calgary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
It is Texas North.
Oh, really?
It is nothing but ranchers, cowboy hats, man. It is. No, I'm dead serious.
Oh, yeah?
You walk through the airport.
Uh-huh.
They're all wearing red shirts, tucked in, jeans. They got like that little, that kind of like that Western wear. Cowboy hat. It is like every single one of them. And it's a different cowboy hat. It's not like a felt one. It's or leather.
Mm-hmm.
Or suede, or whatever. It's a suede, I guess. It's like a hard plastic. It's odd.
Not hard.
It's wild,
plastic,
man.
Wow.
It's I swear to God, it's Texas North.
Okay. Well, hopefully Texas can make it their home and win a game 7 up there by getting a game 6 win tonight, and then finishing it off in Calgary for the upset. From the 817, when do we get to get Scott Foster to referee game? Maybe Scott Foster's been holding out until game 7 to show up in the Mavericks-Suns series. People don't know. Chris Paul has lost 14 straight games when Scott Foster's been the referee in a game that Chris Paul has played in. I think he's 2-16 lifetime when Scott Foster's refereed, officiated a game that he's played in. So maybe Scott Foster's ready to show up in Game 7 when it matters most. But we'll see. Game 7, Sunday for the Mavericks and the Suns. Let's go inside around the NFL right here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan, as we do. The top 9 primetime games. Are you an Adam Schein fan? Your Shine 9.
No, the Shine 9.
The Shine 9, yeah.
I like his voice and his hair, but the amount of hair.
Not
his actual hair, but the amount of hair he has, I enjoy, yes.
Okay. The top 9 primetime games of the 2022 NFL schedule release. I found this to be pretty compelling. He has only one Cowboys game on the list, and it's the 9th-ranked Cowboys game, or 9th-ranked primetime game on his list. And it was a matchup we were talking about a little bit earlier. The Colts, when they visit the Cowboys, week 13, December 4th.
See, immediately the list is discredited.
Oh, you're out? Because I thought the one game that he would have for sure on this list was the opening game.
How is
for the
that
Cowboys.
Not one of the most? It's a potential conference championship preview. Now, I know they got to get there first. The Cowboys actually have to win more than one playoff game. I get
right,
it.
Qualify
it,
Chop.
I get it. Or qualify, I get it. But the Cowboys are a playoff team. The Bucs are a playoff team. Therefore, this is a potential conference championship preview. How is this not higher on the list than – how is that your top 9?
It didn't make the list at all. Yeah, that's the thing. It didn't make the list at all. That is an – I'm not going to lie. That is a very intriguing game, though, because depending on what Indianapolis is doing in the AFC South, which I do think they could have a chance to run away with that division, because I don't like what the Titans are doing. Like, I don't get what they're doing. When it comes to, you know, they moved on from A.J. Brown, you know, Julio Jones no longer there either. Like, this team said, all right, Derrick Henry, you're going to run the ball 350 times this year, and we're going to ride you until we can't ride you anymore. Because I don't necessarily trust Ryan Tannehill going forward either. So the Colts could run away with that thing in the AFC South, and they could find themselves being a double-digit win team this year. But I think that's an intriguing game. The offense of the Cowboys – that defense of the Colts and what they've got going on there. And remember, Stephon Gilmore is also now a member of the Indianapolis Colts. So they've got a good squad. They're going up this year. The other games of note on this list. Now, it's funny because he only had the Cowboys on here once. Now, he had the Chiefs and the Bucks in week 4 in October as one of the primetime matchups. That game's going to be on Sunday Night Football. But he had the Rams on here not once, not twice, but 3 times on his list.
The Rams, all right.
Old Rams.
The Rams are there.
Older was right.
3 times.
His number 1 game is the Buffalo Bills at the Los Angeles Rams.
This, okay, I can see that.
This game, to me, has Chiefs Rams from what was it 20 was it
2018 2017 it was at the year where it was the no that was 18 it was Goff Mahomes
yes,
right it
exactly.
was it was 2018
yeah
and it was 51-48 or 54-51
yeah
what a game
that game this game has that game written all over it to me like these two quarterbacks their offenses defenses can make plays on both sides but that game has box office written all over. And more so, he thinks that this could be a possible Super Bowl matchup. A Super Bowl preview.
I mean, yes, absolutely could.
And guess what? We get that week one. Like, that's on Thursday, September 8th. That's the opening game of the 2022 NFL season. Bills at Rams. Are you okay with that being the number one game on his list?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Other games he had, Packers, Bills, number three. He had Chargers, Chiefs at number two. Bengals, Ravens, number four. Rams, Packers, five. Rams, Chargers, six. Chiefs, Bucks at seven, and we mentioned the other one. So I like his top pick. I do like his top one with the Buffalo Bills and the Rams being the number one primetime game of the 2022 NFL season. And, again, that's the opening game of the entire NFL schedule. Micah Parsons, starting linebacker, of course, for the Dallas Cowboys, quote, "We'll see where we stand," when referring to the fact that they take on the Buccaneers and the Bengals. Speaking on Thursday night about the 2022 schedule release, quote, "Seeing Tampa Bay and Cincinnati back-to-back, that was kind of like the first thing I saw. Bengals in it last year, Super Bowl contender. Obviously, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers are always Super Bowl contenders. It's a testament to see where our team's at and where we stand, and I think that's a great start to play against those two Super Bowl teams. Super Bowl-type teams will be big W's for the Cowboys," end quote. You like Micah Parsons' thoughts there when it comes to the opening couple of weeks for the Dallas Cowboys?
Absolutely. I think it's fantastic. Find out who you are really, really early,
mm-hmm.
and then make adjustments as the year goes on. Breaking news, when you play Tampa and Cincy in the first 2 weeks, your schedule's probably going to get a lot easier the rest of the way. So
Theoretically.
Like, theoretically. Theoretically it is. Now, look, yes, the Bears could be this great team this year. They could come out of nowhere.
And they still got to deal with the Packers and the Rams.
Right, they still got to deal with the Packers. They still got to deal with the Rams. They still got to deal with Minnesota. They still got to deal with Indianapolis. Still got to deal with Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these are all teams that are going to be fighting for a playoff spot. And then you have your teams that you don't know. You know, like I said, what if Jacksonville is this year's Cincy? We don't know. They got the number one pick in the draft from a couple years ago in his second year, just like the Bengals were this year. So let's see. So this is definitely going to be a test early on. But let's just say you split the first two, or win the first two. Like, if they start out 2-0 against those two teams with the remaining schedule they have,
mm-hmm.
because if you take out those two teams, the remaining Cowboys schedule is basically like a 400 winning percentage or worse. This is they're already on track for one of the top two seeds.
I think my favorite part about this Cowboys season upcoming is how much better Micah Parsons is going to get in year two. Like, we were legitimately having him in the Defensive Player of the Year conversation as a rookie. I shudder at the thought of what he is going to continue to grow and become as a player in this league, given how spectacular he was in year one. Like, that to me is the most – I think that's one of the most exciting storylines of the entire NFL season coming into this year, is what is Micah Parsons going to do in year number two, in his sophomore year? Because if he is anything close to what he was – I forget who I told this a while back. By the time we get to Parsons, his new contract that he signs, he's going to be far and away the highest paid defensive player in the history of this league. If he's anywhere close for the next 2 years to what he was during his rookie year. Like, that's to me where we're going with Micah Parsons and what he's going to be.
Not if he doesn't wisen up.
What do you mean?
He ain't going to be the highest paid if he's playing linebacker. He will only be the highest paid if he's playing edge.
Well, I mean, yeah, the money. Clearly, when you get to defensive end, yeah, the money.
Yeah.
But he does everything.
If he wants to blow everybody else out the water, his primary position better be edge, because he ain't getting paid more than TJ Watt.
If he's out here with 12, 13 sacks, leading the team with 120 tackles, 2-3 picks. And like, we're talking about the best defensive player in the league who does everything. I think that would warrant a guy getting to be the highest paid player defensively in the National Football League.
He might. He might be, because he might leapfrog, and then TJ will leapfrog
him. It's always
him.
About who's next.
Yeah. But, like, you know, he's not going to get more. Like, I can't imagine he gets more than TJ Watt just because of the position that TJ plays as the edge. I'm trying to think if there's a corner. I mean, hell, if Diggs is getting 11 picks a year, he's the highest paid, and it ain't even close.
Again, another guy who, over the next couple of years, if he's anything close to what he was this past year as a first-team All-Pro, like, y'all need to get ready. Like,
oh, he's the best. To me, the Cowboys are doing a disservice to him. And he needs to get his agent on the phone with the Cowboys and tell them the real. Like, bro, I'm going to be a defensive end or a outside linebacker in a 3-4, and I am going to be the highest paid defensive player in the league, because you ain't going to be sticking me here at off-the-ball linebacker and throwing $9 million my way.
Yeah. And last part on that, too, is, you know, do you know who Micah Parsons' agent is?
It's not Scott Boras. How about that?
No. But he's the Scott.
Don Yee.
No.
Tom Condon. CAA.
Let's try.
IMG.
David Mulligetta. And if you don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is.
That's the agent for Deshaun Watson. And what did he just get Deshaun Watson? $230 million.
Fully guaranteed.
Fully guaranteed.
Yeah, but he's a quarterback. You could do that with a quarterback. You ain't getting it. And nobody else. There's not going to be a player that isn't a QB getting fully guaranteed.
Let me tell you who else he's the agent for real quick. You heard of a guy named Jalen Ramsey? Yeah, that's his agent. Micah Parsons' agent is the guy for Jalen Ramsey and Deshaun Watson. Get ready. Micah Parsons is going to be the highest defensive player, paid player ever in the history of this league. Watch in 2 years. Just letting you know. That's who he's got representing him.
He might be.
Good luck with that negotiation,
but
Steven.
But he better move positions if he wants to be.
I'm just saying. Good luck with that, Steven. That's your trip around the National Football League right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, Crosstalk led by Mike Bacsik. What kind of mood is he in after his Mavericks found a way to get it done in Game 6? We'll do that next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
American Airlines Center, the microphone is yours for a moment. Luka with a career high, 33 in the game. Bullock with a playoff career high, 19. It'll go to a game 7 on Sunday, folks. Phoenix and Dallas in the conference semifinals.
Mark Jones on the call for ESPN.
Nope. Mark Jones on the call for ESPN. Kevin, this is my takeover.
Yeah.
Right
oh my here.
God!
Yeah.
Where
well,
are you?
You weren't prepared.
Hold
up.
Music,
time out.
It's
time
Friday.
Up.
Hold
it's
up.
Friday.
Hold up.
It's Friday.
Hold up.
I'm
Friday.
On the
everyday
hold
lineup.
Up.
I'm going to do whatever
up.
I want
it is
now.
Hold
it's
up.
Friday.
It's Friday. Mike was getting his little ear, cute little earpiece
what?
In. Mike wasn't on.
Hey,
so
okay.
I'm like, Mike clearly is not prepared.
It's his fault. That
so
means,
as
let
the
him,
true
let him be out there and die yeah.
radio
yeah.
professional that I
no.
am, let me step in here, handle the beginning, and then pass it off to Mike because like Luca, I'm a hell of a passer, and I was
going
to set Mike up. To do his thing. But no, Mike had to go full James Harden and not show up in the first 5 seconds of the segment and then try to take over. All right, Mike, now your floor. The floor is yours, Mike. Good morning.
Good morning. If I was James Harden, I'd just quit the whole show.
Oh, wow. See you later, Mike.
Wow.
Bye.
No, I'm just joking. All right. Mike, so one of the great things
Mike,
about.
I wanted to congratulate Kevin Gray and Reggie.
That'll come later.
All right, we'll do that later.
All right, so, Mike. All right. I see what we're on today, Mike. That's cool. That's cool, Mike. All right, cool.
I want to talk about.
God, I'm glad we don't have to crosstalk every day now.
The highlight of Reggie Bullock's career high. I want to say being last year a half-ass New York Knicks fan, because I do really like Julius Randle. I like that he's from this community and left-handed. Those speak to me. Okay, so last year, Reggie Bullock got torched by Trae Young. He couldn't stop him from scoring 30-plus every playoff game. And so I just want to say thank you to Trae Young, because if Trae Young doesn't torch Reggie Bullock in the playoffs, and Reggie Bullock, it wasn't that he didn't try. It was just that Trae Young got on a heater, and it was probably a great matchup and different things. And
he's a
not
winner.
Just – Trae Young versus Reggie Bullock, but the whole matchup for Trae Young to just go off on the New York Knicks. That being said, the New York Knicks said, son of a biscuit, we're going to have to get a better shooter.
You,
right?
You came
gonna,
real strong with that B just now. Yeah. I was like, uh-oh.
Son of a biscuit.
Yeah, right.
We need to have a more scoring threat on this New York Knicks team if we're going to take it to the next level. So they chose Evan Fournier over Reggie Bullock and let him walk because of the playoffs.
Google his last name.
No, don't do that.
And so
do not do
already,
that.
We've done that 1,000 times.
I know.
Like,
what's wrong with you?
Oh. I just want to say thank
Damn.
You
My
to the New York Knicks
this morning
for letting Reggie
Sean
Bullock
is back
walk.
Here.
That was a heck of a pickup by the Dallas Mavericks. And now I will throw it to you, Choppy. Everybody else be quiet.
Wow.
Choppy, you're the gambler.
Yes, I am.
Has Vegas ever said, you know, home court advantage is about a 40-point difference?
You know, I got to be honest. I have not seen that one. I have not seen that.
This is amazing.
It really is.
We're at game 7, and now Kevin Gray,
yes,
the
I
new
am.
Full-time employee of the Fan. Congratulations. Corey, I'll let you congratulate him in a minute.
All right.
Do you expect game 7 to be different than 6 non-competitive games? And what I mean by that is whoever starts getting the momentum approximately in the third quarter just runs away with the thing. Is there going to be, KG, a competitive game 7, or will it be whoever runs away in the third quarter will win by 10-plus points?
I think we finally get our first competitive game of this series. And I only say that because this cat, Luka Doncic, man, when it comes to elimination games, I don't know what it is about this. I mean, last year in his first game 7 against the Clippers, I forget the exact stat line, but it was insane. And, you know, put the entire team on his back. I think he'll have to do something similar. But I think this time his supporting cast is a little bit better than last year. And I think we'll finally have our first, like, we're due for one of these games in this series. So why not it happen in game seven? Because they got the kind of start in game five that they didn't get in games one and two, and were competitive through the first half. And then, you know, the last 7 minutes of the second quarter, and then obviously the destruction that happened in the third quarter. Like, they were in that game. I think we finally get our first competitive game on Sunday.
All right, KG, thanks for your input. All right, now back to the Mike Bassett crosstalk. Corey, it's your turn.
Y'all work with this dude every day? This is who y'all work with every day?
Well, he gets this 20 minutes on Fridays to establish, you know.
Establish
what
dominance?
What he wants.
Establish a tone
what
for
he
this,
wants.
The show for that day.
Yeah.
Your question.
Yeah.
How the hell does Devin Booker finish fourth in MVP voting when that chicken head who can't play basketball?
Oh, my God.
Y'all going to have to clean up Mike today. Y'all going to have to clean up Mike today.
I don't know that Mike knows what that really means.
He does now.
I'm not sure Mike
It's been
knows.
An illuminating 24 hours
I'm not
for
sure
him.
Mike knows what that means.
No, he does.
Well, he was whooping that trick last night.
We whooped that trick. You can say that? You can say that?
I said it about 80 times on the show, and I'm very concerned about that.
I think that's like the third song on my Spotify playlist.
So wow. When we looked that head, trick last night,
chicken head.
Right, when you watch Devin Booker on television, and yeah. I'm not saying he's not a great basketball player, he is. Do you think he's learning all this BS from Chris Paul? Because
yes.
I'm going to be honest,
what,
I don't
had a choke.
I don't
is he learning that for Chris Paul.
Maybe so.
Paul.
I just don't remember Man. 2 years ago, or maybe even last year. Maybe I just didn't watch Phoenix close enough in the playoffs that Devin Booker does some fake A chicken. H stuff all the time.
Chicken H.
I don't know if that's.
I don't think you need to. I don't even think you need to say it like yeah. that. Oh. I think it's okay.
I think a couple things.
What a day it's going
to
be.
He's always right. He's always had the ability to get a shot off and fall. Like, he's always had that ability. That goes back to even before the bubble. And in college, he had that. But I think this other stuff, like, I haven't seen Chris Paul dribble the ball without trying to run into somebody this series. Like, every time he has the ball in his hands, he's like, can I throw my hip into you and draw a foul? And he does it. So I'm watching Devin do the same thing on a lot of nights. So I agree with you, man. I liked Devin Booker up until this series. And now I'm looking at him going, you are playing a very different game than I saw you play last year. And I watched a lot of what Phoenix did last year. And it looks very different. I think he has tried to take from Chris Paul a lot of those, hey, but I think that's going to end up screwing Chris Paul and him over in the end.
Kevin, your turn. Did you see anything from Jason Kidd last night different from game five, or was it just the energy, effort, home court advantage that once again took over a game?
That's a really interesting question, because I actually did think that the defense just stepped it up. And not to say that that's not any coaching inspired whatsoever, but you saw them cutting off passing lanes left and right, and I thought that was honestly the biggest adjustment.
That was a clamp, man. That was an absolute clamp. And I think early in the game, I don't know if y'all saw this too, Luka got beat a couple times, and I was like, oh, crap, he's not here. You know, he didn't buy in tonight. And then all of a sudden, maybe it was the fourth defensive possession, he was there. He was like, you know what, I got to commit. And he did, and that changed the entire defense, I thought.
Putting Reggie Bullock on Devin Booker was a big change, I thought.
Yeah.
Because he's been primarily getting after Chris Paul. Well, they decided to put him on Booker last night, and I thought that was a big difference.
In
too.
A weird way, great job by Nil Akina. Right,
he's because been fantastic.
He came in. He had to play a lot more minutes because Dorian Finney-Smith was in foul trouble, and so he came in and he didn't score any points. I remember him taking 1-3 and missing, but he had 4 steals. He was staying in front of his guys. He did have a couple turnovers, whereas like he got a little bit too excited and not knowing where people were, like behind him and where guys were on the court. But I just think the adjustment from Jason Kidd. I mentioned it. I thought it was going to be Trey Burke because I didn't even think like. Nil Akina was pretty much on the team anymore because we saw
the injury. Yeah.
We saw Trey Burke play in games 1, 2, and 3 against Utah because of Doncic being out. So I was like, look, you got to get Josh Green off the court. He's not ready for playoff basketball. Maybe he'll never be ready. Maybe he won't be a good NBA basketball player. Maybe he'll end up being Dorian Finney-Smith like when his career gets to year 5 or year 6 in his NBA career. But I just think Jason Kidd going, I know he's the 18th overall pick. I know we want him to develop, and he showed signs of being an NBA basketball player in his second year, but taking him off the court and going to Nil Akina, I think if he wouldn't have done that, in a weird way, I'm not saying Nil Akina's won a game or lost a game, but in a weird way, if you keep Josh Green out there for those 7 to 12 minutes, I don't think we're in a game 7.
You want to hear a stat? on Neal Aquina, which if you
I'll let you do it, but you better do it in 30 seconds.
All right, Rahul
yeah, he's got more chicken heads to talk about.
Rahul NBA Stats says that Neal Aquina has held Chris Paul and Devin Booker to 3 of 40 shooting this series since he's been in.
3 of 40?
That's what I said. I disputed the legitimacy of that
stat. So I would like somebody to help me go find that out. It might be real.
I mean, I don't know that Chris Paul's taking 40 shots this series.
Yeah, 3 of 14 would be awesome, and that makes more sense.
I don't make the stats,
I'll have to check NBA.com, because you can put players together on who is guarded who as a primary defender. That seems real odd.
Well, Kevin Gray, once again, I'm the one person on the KNC masterpiece that congratulated you during this crosstalk. Yeah. Once again,
I think
congratulations.
Corey tweeted it yesterday too.
You did.
And also to Reggie, who's coming in, who congratulations to him. I'm going to miss him. But then I'm not going to miss him, I guess, sometimes. I'm going to miss him sometimes.
Reggie's like,
By the way, that stat line real quick from Luka Doncic last year, 46-14 in game 7. He scored or assisted on 77 points against the Clippers, which was an NBA record.
In a weird way, is that – okay, I don't care, we're going over. Is that good or bad?
I mean, it led to a 15-point loss
last
year.
Right, so what I'm saying, I guess my question
like
is –
you're hoping that to do that again on Sunday.
We'll take us to break, and we'll talk about this during the 4 hours of the KNC masterpiece.
We have four?
Think so.
Yes.
We do.
All right, I got a phone call.
Glad everyone's dialed in today.
Coming up next, the KNC masterpiece. I got a phone call.
What?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.